Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Monday. Black Monday for some folks.
Okay, here I come, hip hop's number one son. For truth be told, I'm more like a young.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Tay is calling it Black Monday. Let's just go with the flow and say it's a Monday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and if you want to join the ride and talk to us on a sunny, beautiful Monday, hey, when you're in the black, you're in the positive, so it shouldn't be Black Monday anyway, so I don't know why they call it that, so maybe it's Red Monday when you get fired, right? Anyway, 718-664-9098, like always, Ray and Tay Today at gmail.com. We got a lot of stuff flying in, Ray, about who should be fired, coaches, and who should be hired, whatever. Also, rayandtaytoday.com, check it out. And you know what? I got to give a little congrats to young sir, as Uncle Tal calls him, Willie Beeman. William Truth Taylor won our ESPN Ray and Tay Today Pigskin Pick'em Challenge. 133 picks right, came in first place. Number two was 12-year-old Adam. And Ray and Tay made a last-minute surge to tie Hank and come in third place, tied for 13 with 119 correct. So shout-out to the 4-year-old. He beats out the grown men and teenagers, and away we go with NFL picks and talking the NFL. Ray, what are we talking about, man? What are we talking about?
Very, very much football-focused today. So we'll get into breaking news. Really quickly, we'll go through, there was an accident in the world of Formula One. We'll talk about that. We've got 6 head coaches fired today. That's why we started off with Black Monday. We'll talk about the NFL playoffs, which are now set. AFC, NFC, wild card weekend. We'll get into that. We've got a whole new segment. By popular demand, we'll talk about champs and chumps of the weekend. I mean, it's a segment we've been doing for a while, but we've got a fresh look at it after this weekend. We'll take a quick run around at the end of the show. We'll take a quick run around the NBA and look at some of these college football bowls and get you ready for New Year's Day. We've got a lot of football before we come back and chat with you again on Friday. So let's start out with a quick news about an unbelievable racer in Formula One, Michael Schumacher. And he was skiing in France, in the French Alps, and was wearing a helmet. So kudos for that, because they said if he wasn't wearing a helmet, that he wouldn't be with us anymore. But he's wearing a helmet. He's in critical condition.
That's horrible.
I guess if you're a Formula One driver, you're just speed. You're a speed guy. Look, I can't speculate on what happened, but they said he fell and hit his head on a rock. And anyway, we hope he gets better. We hope his critical situation turns around. But yeah, Michael Schumacher, if you don't know, he's the best, you know, Formula One racer ever. 44 years old. Look at his history of dominance. But you know, we hope him the best. So
definitely,
bringing it back
domestically.
So we've got, talk about it, Tay, we've got 6 coaches and 1 GM. So
gone.
Tell them who's gone.
Well, first we say sorry to all these guys and their families. You know, yes, they do get paid a lot of money, but it's not easy. And, you know, they also know when they sign up for it and their families and their wives, the life of being, you know, an NFL coach. In Washington, D.C., Daniel Snyder decides to end this reign of Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. They're gone. We knew that this would happen. Detroit, Jim Schwartz, gone. It's something that we sort of predicted. Then we heard rumors that might not happen. It happened, the Lions fans. You're going to get a new head coach. Minnesota, this one might be a little surprising. Leslie Frazier, gone. Former player, defensive coordinator. The Vikings, some of the players were really, really, Jared Allen, you know, Adrian Peterson, very upset about this, but he's gone. the Cleveland Browns came through last night in the evening.
First-year head coach. Didn't even get a chance to go through 2 or 3 years of his program.
362 days, Ray. Browns fire. And they're paying Pat Shurmur and him. Back-to-back coaches gone. You know, Tampa Bay. This one, it was sort of thought it would happen definitely earlier in the year, but then it looked like Tampa was sort of turning it around, but then maybe not. Greg Schiano of Rutgers fame and of some sort of college to NFL fame in his first 2 years in the NFL, maybe he rubbed some people the wrong way. Well, he might be headed to Penn State. He's gone. There's
the
six
GM
jobs
too.
Total.
And the
yeah,
GM,
and also
Dominic.
Mark Dominic. And guess what? This guy, he has brought fantastic talent to Tampa. So whoever comes in, they're coming in with a full deck. Once guys get healthy, you know, you've got three running backs, Williams and Vincent Jackson as receivers. You might not believe in Glennon. You got a nice defense and Revis and Barron and Levante David and Gerald McCoy, some Pro Bowlers. So the Tampa Bay job is not a bad one at all.
And those running backs.
Yeah, those are very good running backs led by Doug Bryant. Cowboys.
Doug Martin,
yeah. The muscle hamster, some people like to call him. Cowboys are staying pat. There's no firing there. And Rex Ryan, he's back, but he's only going to get a one-year extension. So basically, you know, he'll be there for next year and maybe the year after. It could be, you know, he wanted more. And I think that's what they have been talking about, but he's not going to get more.
So we have
Where
the
do you
Texans?
Want to start?
Yeah, so let's talk
and
about
And, of
so
course,
Texans,
yeah, going to the Texans to make it six. That
right,
happened
Texans,
a couple of weeks ago. Kubiak
the Browns
is gone.
Yesterday and four today give a total of six head coaches.
And
so
one GM.
Let me,
not as much
GM.
As last year, but a lot.
Well, it's only Monday at 6:07
yeah.
p.m. Eastern, right?
You don't
so
know what's going to happen
could,
in Tennessee.
Could have more. But
yeah.
Let's say that these are the only six coaches. So if you, Tay, from Ray and Tay today, are looking to be a head coach in the NFL, which one of these jobs are you most excited about and why?
I'll probably take the Lions job because the Lions need a secondary. They already have a defensive line. They've got a running back, a quarterback, and a receiver. I can get in free agency and in the draft. I can get some secondary. I can get another lineman, number two receiver, and I'm ready to rock and roll. The talent of Megatron, Reggie Bush, and Stafford, you know, Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh and some of these guys is, you know, this is a Pro Bowl-laden team with just a plethora of talent all over. So to me, the Lions is the number one job. I think it's going to be fascinating to see where these coaches that have already been in the game land and then the new coordinators and then the college guys come. Let's throw the rumors out there.
You know what I think?
Let me just throw the rumors out there. Josh McDaniels is rumored to the Cleveland job. Bill O'Brien from Penn State and the Patriots OC for a couple of years is rumored to the Texans job. Lovie Smith is already connected to be the favorite at the Tampa Bay job. So tell me what you think.
So here's what I think. I think this is one of the best crop of coaching jobs available
yeah.
in the last 10 years possibly. If you think about it, you've got teams that the Texans were 8-8 for many years, and then
mm-hmm.
last couple of years they had a couple breakthrough years. Now, unfortunately,
making the playoffs,
like you might have to have a quarterback change there, but that Texans team and the Texans stadium and the talent, certainly on offense and then to some degree on defense, was
good
an
ownership.
Interesting job. Good ownership, solid, steady ownership. So that Texans job is not bad. Right, this isn't the Jaguars, right, turning over. Then you've got the Redskins, where you inherit a little bit of dysfunction, but you got an owner who is very interested in winning, very interested in paying to win, and you've got a franchise quarterback and a Kirk Cousins chip that you might be able to trade. So the Redskins is not a bad job at all. Like you said,
plus you have a running back and a quarterback and a number one receiver.
Sure.
Already.
Well,
yeah.
Pierre Garçon, right? Yeah, he's a one, but I don't know if he's the he's no Calvin
the
Johnson.
The one.
Yeah, he's so exactly. He's a one, not the one. And then in Detroit, you articulated very well why the Lions is a good job. So definitely three of those six are very attractive jobs. Now, even the Bucs, like you said, very talented on defense. Shiano's a defensive guy, so obviously his defense was built up. And like you said, the young kids of David and McCoy's turned it around, and they've got plenty of talent at running back. And Mike Glennon turns out to be a halfway decent quarterback between Vincent Jackson and the young tight end Wright. And then if Dustin Keller
comes back. Mike Williams, yeah.
Well, not Dustin Keller, but yeah, if Mike Williams comes back healthy you've got obviously Vincent Jackson under contract.
Doug Martin.
So yeah. Doug Martin and this kid Bobby Rainey looks like he's a runner, and Mike James. I mean, they've got some talent on offense as well. So those four, interesting. Then as a Vikings, now you got to deal with the new stadium outdoors, which might disqualify many people. But you still have Adrian Peterson, a former rushing champ, potential every year perennial, league MVP candidate, and an aging defense, but you've got an up-and-coming Cordarrelle Patterson might be an up-and-coming star, Kyle Rudolph. You have some chips to play with, again.
Yeah, and a young safety. They got some nice young
And then you got a Browns
young
team that, this isn't the Browns team of 10 years ago. This team is built solidly on defense.
And the number one receiver in the NFL, statistically, Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Josh Gordon is a Pro Bowler at receiver. Jordan Cameron might be just as good at tight end as he is at receiver.
And a good defense.
If you can get a quarterback in there, hey, you never know. These are not bad jobs. These are
very
all
good jobs.
Jobs with reduced quality.
And on top of it, historically, great fan bases and great franchises. Detroit, great fans. Minnesota, great fans. Cleveland, great fans. Washington, one of the richest, fan bases. Tampa is, was bad, but after they won with the Sapp era, became a better fan base. So you're right. I mean, and the Texans are pretty good. This is, hey, you got to be chomping at the bit to jump back in
Niners,
for one of these jobs.
The Steelers, the Patriots, but it's certainly not a bottom-tier franchises either.
And they're all situations that are winnable.
Yeah. If Tay was a coach, ready to coach, I couldn't advise you against taking any of these jobs. And they all have challenges, of course, because if you're firing a coach, you're firing them not because you're the defending
Super Bowl
champ.
Well, let's focus at the number one pick, and then we'll get into the playoffs real quick. But that Texans job, do you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to go ahead and fix this, and I'm going to draft. I'm Bill O'Brien from Penn State. I take the job. I draft Teddy Bridgewater. I'm going to develop a quarterback. My offense, I'm going to have Foster and Tate or whatever I'm going to do. I'll have J.J. Watt and, build up the defense. I'll get some secondary guys, and I'll be ready to rock and roll with Owen Daniels coming back, Andre Johnson. The young receivers are starting to look good there, DeAndre Hopkins, Posey, even their backup tight ends. What would you think about that, saying, I'm going to take Teddy Bridgewater and go?
You have to look at yourself in the mirror and see if you see Teddy Bridgewater in 5 years being a Pro Bowler. Because if you don't, trade down. Give it up. Give it up to somebody else. Do what the Rams
have done so well. Yeah,
the Rams did with the Redskins. Now, if somebody's crazy enough, if you don't think Teddy Bridgewater is a number one franchise quarterback and somebody else does, well, then
And what
take
about being
dominant
in defense? You don't want to say, hey, I'll put J.J. Watt next to Clowney and dominate the defensive line and get a pass rush in the NFL.
You know what? Clowney might drop 3, 4, 5. So
you never know.
That number
or the
one
Matthews
player,
kid from Texas A&M, Bruce Matthews' son, he's gone from left to right tackle. He's played both sides, or from right to left tackle, and had a great season. So Matthews is going to be a stud as well, and they're saying he might be a top three pick. So we'll see. There's more to talk about and more to come. You want to go AFC? Let's go AFC because we're going to build up to your Cowboys. Let's talk about my Steelers. Let's talk about yesterday. I think one of the most fascinating last days in a long time of the NFL season. You know, you had all these teams battling for that last spot, and it played out exactly, if you listen to our show on Friday, the way Tay said in the You're Not Ready, and I said my Steelers would win. They did, but I also thought the Chargers would pull it out. I did not know, Ray, that the Kansas City Chiefs and my man Niles Davis would just dominate and basically do everything to beat the Chargers, but miss a field goal, which the NFL now has messed up, has admitted that they messed up and should have called the penalty because they lined up more players on one side and it should have been, instead of a 41-yarder, a 36-yarder. They also, I think, are starting to realize that they need to do something about these rules because they should have been able to challenge the incident where it was a fumble and Kansas City ran it in the end zone for a touchdown. So tell me what you thought about the Chargers. And obviously, they made it to the playoffs where the Steelers, Ravens, and Jets didn't.
Yeah, well, let's start earlier in the day. So first you had the Ravens and the Dolphins and the Steelers all playing for essentially the right to go to the playoffs. Nobody knew, and this again, this is something I've never remembered, a scenario like this where the number six seed was up for four teams and none of them controlled their own destiny. So in retrospect, had any of these teams won, had either of these teams won, the Dolphins or the Ravens, they would have been able to secure a playoff spot. So the most disappointing has got to be the Dolphins because they're playing at home and they're playing the arch-rival Jets, who they've played earlier in the season, so there's no tricks there. You know what you're getting, and Geno Smith's been the quarterback all year long. And they lose 20-7, and it wasn't even – they couldn't muster up any offense. After I had talked about Ryan Tannehill, we'll get into that a little bit later. So disappointment number one is in Miami. And then you say, okay, well, then Baltimore is going to handle their business, right? Baltimore is playing a tough matchup, albeit Cincinnati. But you know what? Baltimore's defending Super Bowl champ. They got the $20 million quarterback. And Baltimore can't handle their business. And
Dalton tried to give it to him with four interceptions.
He did, and so you could even say the other way around. You get four interceptions, and you still give up 34 points.
Ugh.
So what is going on? And Baltimore cannot score. I mean, they had one interception. Joe Flacco, again, your $20 million man, the guy who won you the Super Bowl in the most critical game of the year, goes 30 for 50, 192, one touchdown, three interceptions. So those two teams were not clutches. So then you figure, okay, now the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, so they're the ones that needed three teams to lose. So two out of the three lose. Pittsburgh's like, okay, we can handle our business. Hanging on, but you know what?
We go six
and two in the second half of the season, and kudos to the Steelers. Kudos to Tay Steelers. They took care of their business. Mike Tomlin whipped them in shape ever since he took out the Wii U and the Xbox One and the PSP and the pool
table. We got
table
healthy. we got Le'Veon Bell and Heath
room.
Miller, and we got a little healthier.
Right.
And our old defense played pretty darn good with a little injected youth in it.
Yeah, 20-7, so the Steelers took care of their business. And you had Roethlisberger. Not a great game. He did have two interceptions. But, again, Le'Veon Bell rushes for 90 yards and a touchdown, and Roethlisberger throws one. Who did he throw it to? It was to Jericho Cotchery, right? Yeah, Jericho Cotchery catches that little sideline pass, and then he, you know, squeezes himself in the end zone. So, okay, so you've got Miami not taking care of business, Baltimore not taking care of business, Pittsburgh takes care of business. Then the most intriguing matchup, the one where Tay is, you know, he's like Jerry Tarkanian eating his towel
all afternoon. And I told you, what did I tell you off air? Niles Davis, 120 and a touchdown, and that kid came, oh, my gosh.
And I got to give kudos to, I mean, obviously the Chargers because they won, although theoretically they could have easily lost, but I got to give credit first and foremost to the Kansas City Chiefs, right, because they played without their top quarterback, running back, receiver, defensive tackle, defensive end. I mean, they're talking about three Pro Bowlers that just sat, and they played to win the game. They didn't lose because of lack of effort. They tried. They tried hard. Chase Daniels played well. Your boy, Niles Davis, played well. Everybody played very, very admirably, and they put up a fight. And kudos to them in San Diego. They could have easily said, look, we're the five seed. We don't care. It doesn't – it's like the fourth preseason game.
But you know
game.
What, though? What hurts you, though, is that I think it's going to be an omen. And I'm telling you, like, I'm rooting like heck for the Colts next week to spank the Chiefs, because I think you don't bench your guys and you don't lose momentum and you're 2-5 in your last seven games after starting off 9-0. And I think – you just basically handed it, even though your bench played great. Phillip Rivers, three touchdowns. You know, Matthews, like I said, 144, got busy, and Keenan Allen did his thing, 89 yards. And the Chargers move on. But you know what? The Chiefs are going to regret it.
You might be
really
right, because remember, we said it, if you go back to the shows around week 7, 8, 9, I said this Kansas City Chiefs team, now granted Houston and Ali went down, but this Kansas City team is a week 8-0. If you can be a week 8-0, right? You play who's on your schedule. But I was like, you know what? They're going to run into Denver and lose 2 out of 3 to Denver, and they're not winning the division. And they're going to be, you know, I didn't know they'd be, look, once you don't win the division, you're going to be either the fifth or the sixth seed. So I kind of had a suspicion that they were just not explosive enough on offense. And once they lost a little bit of their invincibility on defense, that team is definitely beatable. And the Colts played them 2 weeks ago and beat them. And you know, we'll talk about our predictions later.
Kansas
in
Kansas City.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about our predictions later in the week.
I got to tell you this,
I do
though,
give them credit for showing up, though. I give them credit for showing up, putting up 24.
And Chase Daniel. How about Chase Daniel? Coming in, smaller quarterback, you know, veteran. He's, you know, been around the league, played back up in New Orleans and stuff. 21 for 30, 200 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions.
Yeah, played a
and
great
ran
game.
The heck out of the ball. Yeah, nah, it was a great game. So, hey, we tip our hats. As a Steeler fan, I tip my hats to San Diego fans. But you know what? I'm pissed today that the NFL is admitting that there were major referee mistakes, and it just makes me sick because you know what? My guys, you know, they played their butts off to be in the playoffs. But like Coach Tomlin said, we were in 16 stadiums this year, and we didn't get it done. So we can't worry about what happened in a stadium that we didn't even play in. That, my friend, is a man, and that's leadership. That's why I love being a Steeler fan. My organization is in great hands, period.
All right. Well, let's move over to the NFC. I mean, we had a couple other games in the AFC. I guess Denver. Oh, you should talk about Denver, right? Talk about the fact
that they got
the
number one seed.
They got the number one seed.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in Champs and Chumps in terms
Patriots
of all the
record-breaking. Patriots
got
the number two seed, so they both
Patriots
took care of their
two.
Business. Yeah, give LeGarrette Blount some credit. You see the numbers he put up? He put up almost 300 yards in total offense. More than 300 yards with
that's
the return yards,
sign.
The running yards.
It's a great sign for the Patriots for the playoffs. This team is, let me tell you something, Belichick, they're ready. They are ready. They could go to Denver if they need to and win. They won 34-20.
And people forget that, now granted it was 10 years ago, but they won three Super Bowls with very little what you would call, you know, Hall of Fame talent other than Tom Brady and a couple offensive linemen, right? They didn't win with major, major talent. So even though Gronkowski went down, they won Super Bowls with lesser talent at the skill position.
Yeah.
You know, they
brought
Corey Dillon in for the second half. But really, they really had no stars on offense other than Brady at the skill position. So this Patriot team, man, and Belichick, especially if you give them time to prepare, they're dangerous. They're dangerous.
Well, give the Colts and the Bengals credit, right? They were both at home. They both won and did what they needed to do. So the Bengals are the 3 seed, Colts are the 4 seed. And so you'll see the Colts match up at number 4 against the number 5 Chiefs. And then you'll see the number 3 Cincinnati Bengals host the number 6 San Diego Superchargers.
San Diego
that's the AFC matchups. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I can tell you this, and we'll, you know, talk about it more on Friday and preview it, but if Andy Dalton throws 4 interceptions to Phillip Rivers, he's not Flacco. Phillip Rivers is going to be scoring, and the Chargers offense can move the ball. So Andy Dalton better wake up and get it together, or else they will be one and done. One and done. Let's talk about your NFC, man. Let's talk about, before we get to your Cowboys, let's build up to that. Let's talk about my man who came back and threw to his man who came back in his first game, Aaron Rodgers, 33-28 over the Bears. Ray and Tay both predicted it. Great game. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have got to rip Mike McCarthy, because if they would have lost this game when he did not go for two early in the fourth quarter, it could have been a monumental, huge mistake, and they wound up winning 33-28. But, I mean, to me, they should have tied up the game and made it.
What was that, the 11 or 12-minute mark in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and it would have been 21-21 instead of 21-20, because they went for the extra point to make it 20 instead of going from, you know, to 22. That to me is, I don't know if you call it an arrogance. I don't know what it was, but to me, he got lucky. Rodgers was a little rusty, you know. 318, two touchdowns, two interceptions. But you got to be killing yourself as a Bears fan when you saw Randall Cobb break open and Rodgers extend the play and throw.
And give Matt Forte credit. I mean, this guy
he played his
quietly does his thing. Three touchdowns, 110 rushing yards, 47 receiving yards, and just really was the anchor of that team. And I tell you what, the jury is still out on Jay Cutler. They gave him the 3 games. I still don't know if you should sign him to that long-term contract. I mean, Tay and I both talked about
this. This is going to be a debate, yeah.
You tender him. You pay him that
franchise
1 year.
Franchise him for 1 year.
Yeah. Franchise, yeah, and maybe give him another year to prove himself, because he hasn't proven that he's worth that $100 million contract that he's probably seeking.
And guess what? Trestman has proved that his system works because McCown flourished in it. So I like what Trestman has done. The question is Cutler the main guy? But you know who stepped up big? Jordy Nelson. You know how happy he was to get Rodgers back? 10 receptions, 161 yards. Jordy Nelson was balling out, and Starks and Eddie Lacy, they kind of held Lacy in check, but Starks played well for Green Bay. Ray, it's Green Bay against the Niners again. What? This
Which
Niners secondary?
Terrible.
I know, but this
well,
Niners
it's terrible
secondary
because I think
defense?
I think both teams, this could be, you know, this could easily be the NFC Championship game if Rodgers gets back and they get their groove back. But obviously,
I tell you, the Niners better be careful.
Move on.
Niners better be careful because of the fact that this time Green Bay's got a running game with Starks and Lacy, and Niners' pass defense is not as strong.
Well, also
Niners
the Niners
better be careful.
The Niners at 12-4 have to go on the road.
That's rough.
To the
8-7-1
frozen tundra. Of
a lot
Green
of
Bay.
Fans want to switch the playoff format in the NFL and the NBA. Just put in the best teams with the best records and slot them in where they should be. Forget divisions, forget conferences, and let's just have a battle of the best. But you know what? It's hard because when you do that, you take out rivalries. You take out sort of, you know, the mystique. I don't know.
Would you rather have it? Every so
yeah,
often, every
yeah.
10 years, you have this where you have, in basketball, the Eastern Conference is trash. And
yeah.
in football, the
football,
NFC,
certain division
the
winners.
Two wild card teams are so excellent. I mean, the Saints and the Niners should easily be division winners. And if they weren't in the divisions that they were in, they'd be, you know, division winners.
Yeah, and
the
NFC North
division.
And NFC East.
It just so happens. I just think every 5-10 years you'll get one of these years. It's an anomaly. I like divisions. I like rivalries. I like the fact that you play teams in your division twice, and then you play everybody else that you play only once. So I think it's okay. Look, it's unfortunate
yeah.
that a 12-4 team has to go to an 8-7-1 team, but that's just the way that's just
it
the
sounds
way
crazy.
Is.
Hey, let me tell you this. Shout out to my main man, Pro Bowler. Killer Cam Newton, 21-20. They took care, without Steve Smith, took care of the Falcons in Gonzalez's last game. And Cam Newton, I got to tell you, Ray, I hope now you're sort of changing your mind and start believing in this Panther team. Because Cam Newton is getting it done, and he's got no help, minor help in Greg Olsen and Ted Ginn Jr., but whatever and whoever he's got, he's making it happen. And I got to tell you, this defense is one of the best defenses I've probably seen in a long time. I think the Panthers defense gets after it, and Hardy and Luke Kuechly, I mean, this team, it's a team. And, you know, Davis on all levels, they play good ball, and they're great tacklers.
But here's the thing.
You know,
here's
Mitchell
the thing.
In the secondary.
They won't play the Saints because the Saints are a number six seed, right? So the six would always play the one. So they're going to play a lower seed. But the thing is, those lower seeds are really good. Obviously, the Niners are just really good.
Philly could go to Carolina and beat Carolina.
Philly's a good, excellent offensive team.
Yeah.
And the Bay,
But the Panthers slow
Packers.
Teams down. I really believe that defense slows teams. Look what they did to the Patriots. Look at their wins this year. The Panthers,
yeah, you're right.
And remember, the Panthers week one played the heck out of the Seahawks. What was it, like 12-7? So, you know, I just keep your eye out on Tolbert and the rest of this team, another Pro Bowler. We got a shout-out, Mike Tolbert making his first Pro Bowl, him and Cam Newton from the Panthers. You know, this team, Steve Smith, hopefully he can get back. They get the week off, right? And, you know, we got to give them their shot and their props and their kudos. But when you go back to the NFC, Niners, they win a tough game. Cardinals, great season. We spoke about them last week. Figured they would lose. They played a heck of a game. And the Seahawks take care of the Rams. Sunday night football, Ray, tell me what happened. How about them Cowboys?
You know what happened was, how about them Cowboys? You know what happened? Ultimately, the Cowboys put up what I believe to be one of their better performances all year. They held a team that had scored 41 and 54, or what, 34 and 54 the last past 2 weeks. They held them to 24 points, and they really did a great job of getting to Nick Foles and containing him. He sacked him 5 times. But at the end of the day, the fact is the Cowboys had a backup quarterback in there. He made 2 mistakes. And it came back to haunt them, and then the DeMarco Murray fumble. So 3 turnovers, and the Cowboys just do not – and again, a backup quarterback, that's why quarterbacks are so important in this
358,
league.
358, and 2 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. Kyle Orton played
nothing.
Great.
He did. He played great, and I have nothing but kudos for Kyle Orton, but the Cowboys were not explosive. So in order for the Cowboys to score, they would have to have a 10, 12, 14-play drive down the field. And when you do that, you're going to make mistakes. Now, again, kudos to the Cowboys. They had, I think they had 1 penalty all game, which wasn't even a real penalty. They got jerked because of the 42nd clock was inadvertently set to 25. They ended up scoring on that drive, so no harm, no foul. But another situation where the refs messed up in a critical Week 17 game. So I think that the issue with the Cowboys is they played a great game. They just didn't have enough firepower to get past a very good offensive team in the Eagles. And the bigger picture is, once again, the Cowboys did not deliver
pass
on a Week 17.
Yep.
Once again,
3 years
the Cowboys
in a row.
End the season 8-8. Once again, there's an excuse. Tony Romo goes down. And once again, this coach, Jason Garrett, will exercise one of his 9 lives and remain the coach of the Cowboys, apparently. They'll
Can I tell you my
Monty
biggest
Kiffin.
Problem with your team now? This is my biggest problem. Dez and Witten did their thing. 12 reception for Witten, 135. Dez, 8 for 99. DeMarco Murray, 5 receptions for 39. DeMarco Murray, Ray, gets 17 rushes for 51 yards. You weren't getting blown out, and it's only 3 yards a carry, but he's got to run the ball more. And even if you combine them, 17 and 5, 22 touches, he needs to touch the ball 30 times. I'm sorry. They still have got the mentality of we are a passing team, and that is what always, whether it's Romo or in Kitna, Jesus Christos, whoever you have at quarterback, you will always pass too much and not give it to DeMarco Murray. And the guy is talented. It's a mistake.
Yep. And look, and that's a Jason Garrett thing, right? He's an offensive guy. He came up as a play caller. So you've got an asset that you've got to use better. And so next season, if he does come back, which apparently he will.
No, he is. It's the Southern press conference. They're not doing nothing.
They've got to do something about balance on offense. And now that you're going to have a potentially more fragile Tony Romo, you're going to have balance in your offense if you're the Cowboys.
Well, let's talk about the NFC seeding. Obviously, number one and number two, Seattle and Carolina. The number three seed goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Yeah, Philly's three.
The number four.
It's four.
Green Bay is number four.
And
yeah. And then you got five, the Niners going to the Packers. And then number six, New Orleans, going to Philadelphia. So we'll preview it on Friday, but just real quick, I mean, obviously the question, you know, maybe offensive explosion, but will the Saints travel and play, you know, we'll see what the forecast is, right? But they're going to Philadelphia. Could be a game where it's 41-40, or maybe Philly can, you know, handle the Saints. That's a wide-open game. Got to believe the Saints are probably going to be, what, 1.5 to 2.5 point favorite. And then the Niners, probably 5-point favorite over the Packers going to Green Bay. But I think Green Bay is dangerous at home against the Niners. I think they'll be ready for Kaepernick this time, and I don't think he's the same player that he was last year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is the Saints are a bad road team.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, the Philadelphia Eagles are a bad home team. So that was pretty weird. But we should see where, the odds makers actually, we'll pull up the odds there in a sec. But I think the odds makers have Philly as a favorite at home.
Really? That's surprising.
Over the Saints, yeah.
If they are, it's got to be no more than 2 points, 1.5 the most. But that tells you what they think about Chip Kelly. Let's give this guy props, right? He just comes in from Oregon with all the scrutiny, first year, quarterback-ish, who's your quarterback, da 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 da. He just did it the right way, and he just won a division and made the playoffs. So props to Chip Kelly coming from college and making it to the NFL. You wonder if, our guy David Shaw would want to come back to the NFL and come in and take over a job, or from Texas A&M, Kevin Sumlin, if he would want to do it, and then of course from, Patriots OC to the Penn State head coach, Bill O'Brien, if he'll come back and join the Texans. But
yeah,
you always,
we go. These are the lines from last night, I guess, as soon as the games are over. So they probably moved a little bit. But Colts are a 2.5 point favorite at home against the Chiefs. The Eagles are 2.5 against the Saints. The Bengals are a full touchdown hosting the Chargers. And the Niners are 2.5 point favorite in Green Bay.
That tells you about Aaron Rodgers. He's worth that much because they should probably be a 5-point favorite. But that's how highly Vegas thinks of Aaron Rodgers. I really believe that. That's fascinating. Wow. And that tells you the Niners' defense is maybe not as dominant as people. Listen, Carson Palmer, they almost lost at Arizona, 23-20. This is going
to
be fun. It's going
to
be exciting.
Who knows what happens?
Well, Philly missed a couple of field goals in the game. I mean, Dawson missed one as well. Listen, great NFL season, great. I mean, I can't believe it's over. You know what I mean? Like, it was a blur.
Fantasy was
we
over
were talking
last
to you,
week.
September 4th.
Week 17
hey.
Is this week. I'm in mourning. I'm in semi-mourning this week.
Semi-mourning. Well, listen, we got a
Alonzo mourning.
No, not Alonzo. Shout out to Alonzo. How about the Georgetown Centers? We're going to have to do a show just on the Georgetown Centers, yo. But real quick, we got to shout out some of these guys that did make the Pro Bowl. I don't know if there's any snubs for you want to mention, like maybe a Luck or whatever. But obviously those quarterbacks, Cam and Rivers. Rivers has the comeback season and makes it. Everyone knows Breeze, Brady, Manning doing their thing. than Cam and Rivers.
What do
you
think about
say,
the whole squad? Where
I think it's
going to
be fun.
I
think the draft is January 22nd on NFL Network. Deion Sanders against Jerry Rice. It's actually going to be kind of fun. It makes it more like if me and you were picking teams in the backyard. You know what I mean? I think the Pro Bowl, to make it a little bit more exciting and fun, they're doing a little something different. And I think it's kind of creative and great. And it's probably the only thing they can do, right, to juice it up. Because it's a game that had no life into it. So I think the NFL is trying something new, and I think it's going to work. I already find it fascinating. But my biggest gripe is that I'm so glad Troy Polamalu made it and Antonio Brown for my Steelers. No Jets, no Giants, no Packers, bunch of different players from different teams didn't make it. But this one kid from Tampa should have made it, Lavonte David. To be, up in the top five categories in interceptions and sacks, there's no reason that kid shouldn't be a Pro Bowler.
Well, so the problem is that you've got Bowman, I mean, the other guys that they have, Bowman and Willis
loaded.
From the Niners,
yeah.
Keekly and Vontaze Burfict, those are some
from
pretty
the Bengals,
good linebackers.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
Lee
are pretty good linebackers.
And
what about
tackles,
your boy, John Abraham?
Well,
Ponce
that's
de Leon.
A great...
I mean, how old is he, 47?
Can I tell you, remember I told you it was like the last bit of signings. And they signed the offensive lineman, the Cardinals, and they signed John Abraham. They brought in two veterans at the end of free agency. And I said, you know what? Those are two good signings. And it really worked for the Cardinals. And Bruce Arians, man, he better get Coach of the Year votes because he definitely deserves it.
Oh, he'll get
them. Yeah. Well, so should Rex Ryan. So should Tomlin. I think Coach of the Year, though, you could easily say it could be Belichick. The Patriots had more things happen to them this year in injuries, and they kept going and going. Even Tlaib, who made the Pro Bowl, was hurt for a while. All these different guys, and didn't matter. Belichick and Brady just kept doing it. So this might be a year where Belichick really, or maybe you even go to San Diego and Mike McCoy, his first year as a head coach.
Yeah, you either get one of those, or it's not sexy.
Mike Fox.
Mike Fox. What about... Pete Carroll. His team went 13-3.
yeah.
He's got a nice squad, but he still went 13-3.
It'll be fascinating to see where they go with it, but I think
Rivera, though, is going to win it. I think because he's the one that really came out of nowhere
took
a squad
true.
That doesn't have much on offense.
Came from potentially getting fired, but the Panthers, unlike the Browns, being patient, right? Sometimes giving a guy a chance. And you know what? He finally struck gold in what his third or fourth year as a coach. So you're right. That's a good call right there. I totally agree with you. It's got to be him. And I think it's exciting. So you know what? Speaking of excitement, let's talk about our segment, Champs and Chumps. And I'm feeling really positive. Tay's got two champs. And I got to jump right in. And to me, it's quite clear. My champ is the sheriff and his offense, Peyton Manning. He is the record breaker.
You heard
this
they
team,
might take a few yards away from him, though, because they review every passing play.
They did. The yards is 5,476.
Oh, so
okay.
He tied Breeze. I think he beat Breeze by 1 yard, and I think they took 1 yard away, so now he's tied with Breeze.
Yeah, they're saying – yeah, no, they're still saying that it's broken, so I guess it was – the record was still broken because he had – what they said he had in the game was 477, and they took away the 1 yard, so he still broke the record. Because it was 5,211. So he still broke it.
No. He broke it only by 1 yard. It
you
was,
sure?
It was,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're saying, okay, so it's 1 yard, but points, they took that down with 589 points scored. the offense, I mean, that to me, they took care of the record that was from the Patriots from 2007. That's amazing to me. Or no, I'm sorry, 596. The record was 589. So 596. Then he had the record for touchdowns, 54, ironically, which is what Tay predicted he would have. But he wound up with 50. Did he wound up 54 or 55?
55.
So he wound up with 55. So I was one off. So to me, when you look at this team and the stats that he put up, this is going to go down as the best offensive season for a quarterback and for a team in NFL history. And so you just got to give it up. Plus, he had, what, four receivers in the top 20 in receiving? That's amazing. So without a doubt, they are my champs of the week, the Denver Broncos.
Of the season.
And Peyton Manning. Well, yeah, I know, right? Of the season. Yeah, that's fair. So.
All right, who else you got? Give us both, because you're feeling generous and positive.
I'm feeling generous. I'm going both double champs. Why you gotta put the pressure on me, man? You know, I am feeling generous, and so generous that there's a young man who's getting ready to change his life. And sometimes when you're stepping up to a challenge, you know, on your way there, you can meet roadblocks and get kicked around. Well, this man was going through that, and his team, Louisville, they were only ranked number 18 this year. Had a couple of losses, but this guy can't play offense and defense. His name is Teddy Bridgewater, Louisville, 12-1. They win their bowl game 36-9 over Miami. Pretty decent team. Teddy Bridgewater in this game, ladies and gentlemen, said, you know what, I am and want to be the number one pick. Threw for 447 yards, three touchdowns, ran for a touchdown. I think Teddy Bridgewater proved that he could throw every type of NFL throw. His coach was having him do it in the game, and he basically lit up the Miami and ACC defense, who they will be rivals with next year. 35 for 45. You know, I mean, 9.9 yards a pass. I love it. I think this guy, no interceptions. I think Teddy Bridgewater is ready. And I think he might go to the Texans as the number one pick. I'm not saying I would definitely take him number one, but you know what? He might. He just might. And Bill O'Brien might be ready to, you know, do what he's got to do and work his magic with him. So for that, Teddy Bridgewater is my champ. Number five in your playbook and number one in your heart. 6'3", 196. Some people question the size. I think he'll be just fine.
Oh, you got to eat some Wheaties, man. You got to get over that 200 pounds.
He'll get bigger.
15 pounds, 20 pounds. Teddy
Bridge.
Okay.
Teddy Bridge.
All right, look, I'm not feeling as generous and as positive as my man Tay over there. So I mentioned it before, but you know what? You need to reiterate that even though it wasn't a direct win and you're in, you have to win your critical games. And as a Cowboy fan, I can certainly feel in week 17 the pain of not winning the game. So look at the teams that lost. The Cowboys played well. I believe the Cowboys have nothing to be ashamed of in the week 17 performance. Now, the whole season we could talk about, but the week 17 performance, they played fine. I think the Bears played hard. They played well. The teams that bother me on week 17 are the Miami Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
played at home against the Jets. And if you said before the season that the Miami Dolphin franchise could play the Jets at home to go to the playoffs, they take it every day of the week and twice on week 17 Sunday. And yet they were only able to put up 7 points. Seven. 7 points at home on the way to the championship. And it's not like the Jets put up 50 where they got discouraged and were playing from behind. The Jets beat them 20-7.
The defensive lineman rushed for a touchdown.
Yeah, Big Sheldon. That's my man. Two touchdowns in 3 weeks.
Gotta
love it. As a Jet fan, I could tell you that I'm horribly disappointed by the Dolphins. at 8-7. By the time their game was about to be over, it was a win and you're in situation because of the next team we're about to talk about. But, you know, Tannehill throws for 3 interceptions at home. After all they've been through, they put enough into that offensive line. They got enough of a game plan together to get them to 8-7, to get them to the point where you win and you're in at home, and they couldn't deliver the goods and only put up 7. I can't be mad at their D. 20 points is not horrible, but that offense, 7 points, embarrassing. Now, the other team that I'm upset at,
who are you upset at, man?
I thought that the Baltimore Ravens wouldn't qualify for the playoffs. However, they had a chance. They had a chance. Another team at 8-7, if they had won, they would have been in the playoffs. Now, granted, it was against what is now the 11-5 Bengals, the team that I thought was the quality team in that AFC North. But the Ravens, defending Super Bowl champs, I expected a little bit more. I expected a little bit more from their Super Bowl-winning quarterback than going 30 for 50 and 3 interceptions. Their running game was 47 yards. Ray Rice had 6 carries for 15 yards. Even Pierce was 5 for 28. So they didn't run the ball enough. They didn't run the ball well. In fact, like we said earlier, they turned Andy Dalton over. 4 interceptions, and you can only get 17 points on 4 interceptions?
Embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. So the Ravens and the Dolphins have a long offseason ahead of them. They both essentially could have won and gotten in, and yet they're going to be watching Philip Rivers, who also was the beneficiary of a lucky no call, but they're going to be watching San Diego in the playoffs. And so for that, they're my chumps of the week. 8-7 with a chance to win, and they didn't even make it competitive. At least the Cowboys and the Bears, who had the same scenario, played well enough that their fans can say that they put their best foot forward and they played a decent game. So my chumps of the week are the Miami Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens.
You know what? That is real, and that is definitely fair. And I think it's that time to take a quick break, talk some college sports and some NFL. We'll be right back. Ray and Tay.
We're back, and we're back to talk college. So we don't have a lot of time left in this show, but what we will do is we'll talk about these college bowls. So just to let everybody know, we've got Navy beat Middle Tennessee today, and Ole Miss
dominated.
Took care of Georgia Tech. So that was 24-6, Navy beat Middle Tennessee, and Ole Miss beat Georgia Tech. Just to let everybody know, later tonight, actually, and right now, is kicking off is Oregon, Texas in the Alamo Bowl,
mm-hmm.
And then later tonight is Arizona State, Texas Tech, and then we got four games actually tomorrow night on New Year's Eve, and then we got 6 big ones on Wednesday.
I wonder what our buddy. George Reister thinks, but I know he'd be picking Oregon. But I got to tell you, I think Texas will show up. But I think Oregon, they are upset, just like Stanford is, and neither one of them are playing for the championship. I think Oregon will put it on Texas something severe because of the fact that they wanted to play
even
for the
national
title.
Even though Texas is paying for Mac Brown?
Listen, I know a lot of people believe that with the emotion, but you know what? I believe the opposite. I believe that they kind of already let him go. And I don't think that it'll be enough.
Okay.
I got Mariota showing that he's coming back to win Heisman next year. I think Oregon is going to win 37-28 over Texas.
Okay, I like that. I think Oregon puts up 40, and I think they win 40-24. I think Oregon puts it on them big time. So Arizona State, Texas Tech, we'll just blow through them. Who you got, Arizona State or Texas Tech?
I got Arizona State. I think the Pac-12 makes a strong run here.
Okay. The other Arizona team tomorrow with an early start, 12:30 Eastern, against BC.
I actually think BC puts it on them. They're the one Pac-12 team that I think will struggle. And I think our boy at the Heisman,
Williams,
yeah, I think he has a big game. He puts up, 150, two touchdowns. BC wins.
Okay. Now we got Vatek against number 17 UCLA in the Hyundai Sun Bowl.
Go UCLA.
Okay. And then Rice, Mississippi State in the Liberty. I like UCLA as well in that game. Rice against Mississippi State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
I got to go Mississippi State.
Yeah, me too. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, number 24, the surprise, Dukies, against number 21, Texas A&M, and Johnny Manziel in his last game in the Chick-fil-A
Bowl.
Yeah,
I think Johnny Manziel goes out in a blast. They win like 40-24.
Yeah, I think Duke gets it on, put it on them like Florida State did. So similar huge game for Manziel. Maybe they win by 20-25. All right, let's move it on ahead to the New Year's Day games.
Oh, yeah, the granddaddy of them all. Let's get that in, man. I think Stanford puts it on Michigan State. It'll be sort of defensive, but then they'll just overpower them, Tyler Gaffney, too much. I think they win 30-21. Stanford wins by 9.
Wow. See, I think it's going to be much more
defensive
and lower scoring.
No problem.
I think Michigan State has the best defense in the country. They showed by beating Ohio State in Indiana on that neutral field. I think they go to another neutral field. They play a very, very close game. Our man, Coach Shaw, a friend of the show, I think Stanford does pull it out, though. I think they win a real, real close one. I think they win something like 20-18.
Okay. Well, listen, it's going to be fun. We got to mention, obviously, the top, college basketball teams pretty much stay the same. Arizona, Syracuse, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. Oklahoma State 6, Duke 7. Wichita State still stays undefeated. They had a good win yesterday. They're number 8. And then number 9, Baylor Bears. And number 10, Oregon. So the Ducks are moving up in college hoops and in college football. Must be fun to be a student at Eugene, huh?
Yeah, we talked about that in Eugene. We also talked about those big three schools in the Big Ten, right? Ohio State, Michigan State. It must be some fun in the Big Ten right now. Oh, one more college game before we leave. Obviously, we've got other games with top teams. So we've got Wisconsin and South Carolina. We've got UCF and Baylor. So that's an interesting one in the Fiesta Bowl.
I like Baylor, and I like South Carolina. I'm going to go with the SEC there, yeah.
I got to go with the SEC. Now, here's the question. So how angry is number 3, Alabama? And
Alabama
how
is going to
embarrass
Oklahoma.
Are they
going
to put it on number 11, Oklahoma, in the Sugar Bowl?
I think it's going to be 38-17.
And who gets it? T.J. Yeldon is the player of the game, or A.J. McCarron?
I think McCarron goes out with a bang. He shows that he was a legitimate, Heisman quarterback and deserved to be there. I think he has a big game. Definitely. I got to go with that. Hey, I got to say this, though. Let me ask you this. Did you see the Blazers in the Heat without LeBron? And LeBron is questionable for tonight's game, game time decision. But Chris Bosh, 37-10, hits the three. Dwayne Wade with the dunk. And the Heat beat the Blazers, one of the most exciting games over the weekend in a little bit of NBA stuff. And the Knicks are waving Chris Smith. So much for nepotism. And maybe JR will be upset. And they're probably going to re-sign Jeremy Tyler. So.
Well, here's the thing. This Heat team needs these challenges every so often.
Oh,
when you've been to the final 3 straight years and you're the 2-time defending champ, you need these little challenges. So without LeBron in Portland, the best team in the NBA by record, the best team in the West, to win that game basically
gave
Dwayne Wade a shot, a juice, that he needed. And you know what? People forget. They were talking about 2.5 men with Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh is a legitimate all-star, borderline all-NBA player up in Toronto. So he took a major step back in his, you know, stardom to go win what will be two and maybe three championships. And give him credit. And he's not only that, but he's changed his game. I mean, the guy's hitting game-winning threes. He's hit 70% of his game-winning threes to put his team up or tie in the fourth quarter. So this guy's phenomenal.
It's amazing. That's a great stat, and it's amazing. And you know what? You gotta. This is why I think that they're gonna three-peat. I really do. I think that the Heat are so tough. Very, very tough. It's going to be fun college bowl games, some fun NBA tonight and you know, throughout the holiday. We wish everybody a happy new year. Thank you for joining us for another year and talking, you know, sports with Ray and Tay and talking sports with friends. And it's been fun, Ray. It's been fun.
Yeah, happy new year to everybody. Thanks for listening. We had a pleasure. We had a blast bringing you sports, talking sports with friends, like we like to say. Have a great new year. Enjoy the new year with your family, your friends.
Be safe out there. Yep. And we'll be back on Friday, 2014, with Ray and Tay. It's going to be fun.
It's a big year, 2014. We're going big.
Definitely, definitely. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the new year. Ray and Tay.
Have a great new year. We're out.
Peace.